The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
That didn't work too well either.
Another day at the orifice. excuse me.
I thought you were about to go Good Morning Vietnam there for a second.
Well, you know, that's kind of the takeoff of the theme a little bit here. That we started that because of, obviously, I'm sort of parroting or copying Robin Williams from the Good Morning Vietnam thing. Because it kind of feels a little bit like Vietnam out there sometimes. Just saying. All right, so we're here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting. You're listening to Sovereign Minds once again. Go ahead.
Okay, good morning, everybody.
Today is Sunday, June 30th, 2024. Man, I tell you, half a year over. This year is flying by. What a crazy freaking thing is going on in this world right now. I don't know. Anyway, I'm here in the great state of Jefferson, and I already introduced my sister Linda, so let's move on. The kid that rocks around the clock.
We just think we're something this morning, do we?
The kid that rocks around the clock faster than speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high speed download. 10th Green Black Belt of Ram, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
And all gun control is racist. Anyway. Wow, what a week. We have so much.
Good morning, Ben, before we move along.
Good morning.
It's good to have you.
Would you guys like to hear a slight joke slash bit of information?
I'm not sure what slight joke means, but go ahead.
So the national day today is Meteor Shower Day, and if you step outside, you can witness a meteor named Redding burning up.
Yeah, it's been the hottest place on the planet at least once or twice, I'm sure.
Wait till this next week. It's supposed to get really hot.
Cover up your tomatoes with sunshade.
Cover up a lot of things because some were calling for 120.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
I don't know about 120, but the media. Does the media ever tell the truth about anything? I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
it depends on what media.
It's been pretty close to that hot before, if I remember right. I remember a 118, one maybe even hotter a few years back, but I don't know. Crazy days indeed. So
are you saying the media didn't get the debate right?
Does the media, what I'm saying is, does the mainstream media ever get anything right?
Well, there's that. But you have to admit, I mean, they have been saying some stuff about Joe Biden that was, like, shocking.
Oh, I've got no internet here for some reason. Hold on.
Yeah, I do.
I'm not sure why I do or don't. Can I try again? Let me see if
Could be Spectrum again, you know.
Somebody whacking the cable.
Some homeless man walking up there cutting the wires.
Hey, yeah. Got it all up back and running here. So I was just trying
probably
to
probably the same one starting fires.
I was just getting into the chat room here, or trying to, and so I think I can now. I wanted to. It kept saying, "There's nothing there." Okay, well, I think I'm there. Let's see if I can get in there now. All right, I'm going in. All right, so I guess we could start off with the debate, but I don't know. Maybe we should start off. We got a couple other issues on the table.
There's a lot of other issues, but where do we want to start?
Let's start off with the free speech thing, okay? Because, you know, there's been a lot of attacks on the station this last week or so because of the, I guess there's a show on Tuesdays.
Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. called Unmasked.
I haven't listened to it because...
I've listened to parts of it.
From what I understand, it's just an off-the-chart leftist thing, and I don't care to listen to it. But evidently they're threatening to sue. I don't know if advertisers are threatening to pull the station. Here's my position. I absolutely believe in free speech for everybody, even if it's stupid speech.
Well, there is that.
And the reason I believe that is because stupid people have to expose themselves and their ideas to people who are smart and have good ideas, because then you have the ability to maybe figure out what the best idea is. Now, I also believe in the consequences that go with that. If you're a commie bomb thrower and nobody wants to listen to you, they can turn off the radio. If you are so obnoxious, and we'll get into that in a minute here when we talk about the new election committee. If you are so obnoxious that everybody hates your guts and doesn't want to have anything to do with you, there you go.
Well, I believe in free speech, because if you start saying one person can't have free speech,
exactly,
then they start, you know, pretty soon they're going to be stepping on your toes or somebody else's toes. Depends on who's in power, who decides what.
That becomes a real problem. That's the problem, and we had the Supreme Court rule against free speech this last week, giving them the ability as a circuit to censor people online.
Exactly.
Which I have been experiencing a lot of. I mean, you know, I posted on this neighborhood thing. But you left. Okay, I post on there once in a while just because it's kind of fun.
It's a joke. It's fun.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I put on there, the word of the day is censorship, and we kind of went through this, and you're not being censored. You have a First Amendment right. And I get these leftists that, you're not being censored. Okay, then how come about 10 of the last 20 posts that I put on there got all wiped out, censored? And so I said, here's the post. Here was the post. I asked the question, is Hunter's laptop real? And they took it off. Did you know that you can go online, and it's online? Go to BidenLaptopMedia.com.
It's all over.
It's
online.
All there.
Holy moly.
I wasn't trying to be controversial. I wasn't posting anything bad. I was just trying to ask a question. How many people out there believe it's not real, basically? Or won't acknowledge it?
Well, if you don't want to acknowledge it, don't read the post and don't react to it.
Right.
It's just like freedom of speech. If you don't like what I'm saying, then just don't listen to me.
Now, if I'm saying that, if I'm having, there's some limits on free speech, but not that much. If I'm starting a riot, that's a problem. Okay, look at what they've gone after Trump for saying have a peaceful protest. All of a sudden, you know, that's a crime. So you got to be careful with this, because it swings both ways.
Exactly.
We have been censored over the last 20 years a lot. I mean, I've been shadow banned off of everything for telling the truth. We got censored for talking about the vaccines and their efficacy.
I still get that.
Exactly. We got censored for saying the masks don't work. We got censored. You could go right down the freaking line. I mean, I even started making a list here of stuff. Trump colluded with Russia. No, he didn't. If you said anything wrong against that, you got censored. That's why there's so many morons out there that think that that's still true, because they're still, I mean, right up to the debate, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, they're saying Trump's cognitive, he's so cognitive, he's ready to compete in a Russian chess match against the Masters. No. I mean, the guy can't even barely walk. But everybody who was watching anything but mainstream media knew that. But that was all censorship. Remember, the borders are not open.
No, just all them people coming across, that's a figment of your imagination.
Replacement theory's not real. Illegal aliens won't be able to vote, even though they're setting that up and they've admitted to it.
Oh, they've already set it up.
And they're
doing it.
The virus came from a bat. If you said anything about it coming from a Chinese lab in Wuhan, even though it was called the Wuhan virus, you got censored.
Mm-hmm. There was so much of that. Everything that we have said or they can accused of conspiracy theory. It's the truth. It's not like it's a theory. It's true.
So what's interesting is the left does have no problem censoring the right. See, censorship to them is, when you don't agree with me, I think your mic should be cut.
Well, and this is the problem that we saw all the way back from Alex Jones, because he was one of the tipping pieces in this war on free speech, and a lot of people on our side didn't support him, and then likewise, you had Louis Farrakhan that was a leftist that was saying similar things, he was considered the radical on the left, and so they take these people off the platform, and it's not like they're dead, it's not like they stopped spreading their information. To some extent, you have the Streisand aspect of it to where it gets even bigger, but the big problem with it is now you've just made it to where the normies, the normal people like you, me, everybody else, I'm looking at a TikTok suspension right now on the next video that I make. If I make one that they don't approve of, my account's gone, and I've only had that account for like a month. So
you're a normie?
I'm just a normie, apparently.
So my thing is this. I don't care if they have free speech. I don't think they should be pulled off the platform. I think they expose themselves for who they are. It's like saying that, well, you know, if I'm a communist and I think we should overthrow the government, well, I guess that's protected speech unless you actually start to try to overthrow the government. Then that could be a problem and that could be illegal. But that's the problem with these guys is they don't even know half the time what they're even talking about. You know, and half the stuff that they talk about is complete untruths and misinformation to begin with. And I think that needs to be exposed on a platform, because then otherwise, what they do is they cut off the truthful information that counteracts their lies, and vice versa, if there is any. All right.
Well, most of the time what happens is they hang themselves. You can see that with everything that's going on in our country right now, is they eat their own, so to speak.
Well, and they've been censoring any opposing views for quite some time.
Right.
And now they're being exposed for who they are. And so I got a couple clips before the debate. I also want to talk about this Nathan Pinckney
being appointed to a commission.
Yeah, being appointed to the commission. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? So we'll see how that goes. But Tim Garman is the guy who nominated him, and he just shows what an absolute moron he is at this point. And he has just become an absolute laughing stock with his, you know, wearing the recall cry shirt. And I mean, he's an absolute idiot in my
opinion. Yeah, look at how he
not a conservative.
Did a 360, you know, from when he was running to get elected and his position and what he said.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and then
if you say you're a left winger and you
he did a 360 on that one.
But when you say you're a conservative and all you do is follow left wing policies, and
after you get in there.
And Nathan Pinckney's a conservative, right? That's who you want to pick. And Nathan Pinckney has been nothing but trouble since he started down the road of going to the Board of Supervisors, everything. He's been obnoxious. He's been rude. He's been disruptive. He's been thrown out of meetings. You know, he's tried to pick fights. That's the guy you want on there, right? And then the fact that Kevin Cry is even waffling on this is absolute stupidity, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Cry needs to be admonished for this a little bit. So I would send him a letter saying that putting Pinckney on this commission is an absolute travesty. It's ridiculous, because what is Pinckney going to do? What does Pinckney always do? He disrupts everything he touches.
Well, you can't tell me there's nobody else that is available to do that, that you picked him out of everybody that could be picked to do this commission?
That's a finger in the eye.
Yeah, it's like, right up. Yeah, exactly.
If you pick somebody who's on the left side of the spectrum, but not a commie bomb thrower who's got posts about Antifa and sending fires.
And where's the left on this? You haven't heard a peep from the left on this, right? Where if it was somebody else, and it has happened in the past, it's been appointed to certain commissions, boy, the left is up there spewing all kinds of stuff about them, that how they're not qualified in this and that, and they're being paid for by this, or they're under, you know, this guy's power. Okay, what about Pinckney?
Yeah. I have a question I'd like to know. I've heard some rumors that his wife Pinckney's wife, I guess Lisa Jensen, has been in some kind of an altercation in a car traffic accident or something, and hit and run involved or something. I don't know all the details. I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't know if that's true or not. I'd like to find out if anybody's got any information on that. I'd like to know about it. My fax is 530-221-0304, or you can email me at kentmark@msn.com.
Yeah, I've seen that, but I don't know.
I'd like to,
if there's something to back it up.
I'd like to verify that, because I'd like to call it out as either a truth or a lie. If it's a lie, I want to get it out there on the table that it's a lie. But if it's the truth, I'd like to see some more information, because it seems like a lot of people are throwing bombs that, you know, you might want to worry about your own glass house, you know, the throwing stones. So, with that said, let's talk about the debate. Here's the mainstream
media. Wow. this is going to take a few. Well,
there's some good stuff here. So here's the mainstream media before the debate, and then we got a little clip after the debate. Are we hooked up and ready to go in there, Ben? Yeah, I think we are.
That letter.
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
Campaign official, now
hold on.
Anthony Blinken.
I'm not sure what that's going on. I see what happened. It automatically keyed in. Okay, here we go. Let's try it again. This is before the debate, mainstream media.
Joe Biden is poised to absolutely wipe the floor with Donald Trump tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Dark Brandon for the win.
All the cheap fakes in the world won't be able to bring him down.
Four more years.
And after the debate...
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts.
I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip.
Yeah. Can you see the ice cream, Joe?
Wow.
Wow is right.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So,
that's okay. I mean, yeah.
Here's another one. This is the Trump-Biden debate. Here we go.
Welcome to the first 2024 presidential debate.
The rules for tonight, after Trump answers a question, each moderator will have 2 minutes for a rebuttal.
What?
And in the spirit of democracy, there will be no audience.
Oh, but you're used to that, Dana, aren't you?
How dare you?
Sleepy McNapper knows as well as I that you made sure there wasn't an audience here tonight, because they would all cheer for me.
We didn't want to wake the president up.
I was going to put him in...
Can't even stay awake to be president. How sad. How gay.
She knew lost. She knew so long as she was denied.
First question. Former president convicted felon Hitler. Why did you mock a disabled person?
Because he's running against me for president. Next question.
Kleptocracy.
You're going to wake him up. Stop.
Oh, no. If he wakes up, he might end up bothering whoever the actual president is.
Oh, how dare you.
Exactly.
He doesn't even know where he is at the time.
Why?
Did I upset you, Dana Trash?
You woke him up.
Come on, man.
Mr. President, hello. We're so sorry to disturb you.
Donald Trump's presidency. Guess what? You know.
You know the thing.
Yeah. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
You're not supposed to say that.
What am I doing here?
Mr. President, he's trying to trick you.
What in the hell is he talking about?
He threatened you, Joe. He pulled a knife.
Mr. President, no. I didn't threaten you.
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
He didn't say that. He didn't threaten you.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed.
He doesn't disturb you when you're sleeping.
Of course not. That's when all his votes come in.
Yeah, so...
It's funny, but it's not. It's truthful.
There was so much fodder.
Yeah.
Over this. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse, even though we're kind of beating a dead horse here a little bit. But I pulled this clip from Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a great clip because it's actually kind of tells the story a little bit here of what the problem is. And I think that the American people got a little bit of a shot of a wake up, this last debate. Because they have been gaslit. That was the other word I'm going to put on the social media. Gaslighting. You know?
Oh, well, they didn't think he would do so poorly.
I don't know what they thought.
You know, like, to put him up there, they couldn't glass over it or, you know, do anything about it.
I keep going back to the Joe Scarborough Mika clip. Yeah, you got to listen to this or, you know, I'm going to give you the double barrel because, he's more cognitive than he's ever been. He just goes on for like 10 minutes about how sharp Joe is and, you know, he's ready to take a math quiz and the E=MC², man, he's all over that. It's like, what? And now it's like, so let's listen to Tulsi Gabbard a little bit here just to see what she has to say.
In the wake of yesterday's debate between President Biden and President Trump, a lot of people are saying, oh my gosh, President Biden comes across as so old. What about his performance? It's not the most important thing that we should be paying attention to. The problem isn't that he's just old. The problem is he's insane. Only a madman would not consider a nuclear holocaust, a nuclear war, as an existential threat. He said, quote, "The only existential threat to humanity is climate change," end of quote. Only an insane person would say this. And this exact insane person has the power to launch a nuclear weapon. How could we even consider that it would be safe to reelect this man? Now remember, again, he's the guy with the nuclear codes, and yet he doesn't consider nuclear war to be an existential threat. I don't know what he thinks it'll be. Is it just going to be a walk in the park? We're talking about the skin burning off of our children, the decimation of all living things, what to speak of the nuclear winter that would follow. This doesn't seem to be a concern to President Biden, which makes me ask, what world is this man living in? He is responsible for the fact that today we are now closer to nuclear war than ever before, and he is responsible for deciding whether or not we will engage in nuclear war, and yet he doesn't consider it an existential threat. It doesn't bring me any joy to say this. I've known the Bidens. I've known President Biden. I was friend with his son, Beau. We served in the National Guard. I endorsed him because I thought he had a good heart. So I'm not saying this because of partisanship or hatred or anything else. I'm saying this because I love the American people and this world that we live in. I cherish peace and freedom. This world is not ours to destroy. Even if President Biden and the Democrats think that they have the right to decimate us, our families, our homes, our communities, they don't have the right to destroy all living creatures on this planet. This man does not belong in the White House holding this position of power because he's a threat to the two very most important things, life and liberty.
I thought that was pretty good.
It is good.
Because I think that really says the way things are. And, I mean, if these guys don't have a wake-up call after this last debate, I mean.
Well, and that's something that she went over that is not addressed on mainstream media or a lot of places about the nuclear code and where this is headed or could head, you know. Oh, okay. Gotcha. I guess we need to take a break.
Oh, I can't see through the window. It's too much
glare. I can't. So we'll take a break.
Can we shut the lights off or
something? And we will. I can always. But we'll take a break, and we will be back in about 3 minutes. We'll see you on the other side.
All the government can't tell me what it is that I believe. They're all poisoned out and brainwashed up in Washington, D.C. I can't be bought, I can't be twisted up, cause I know who I am. Ain't no army gonna take my rights or come up on my land. Granddaddy gave me this gun and the flag in my yard. He told me war is hell, so you better stay armed. Then don't go starting a fight, but defend what is yours. They try to force your hand, drag your name.
this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
So I guess where do we want to pick this up?
Did you see, we talked about it before we came on, where Joe said that he's not the best at debate, but he tells the truth.
I mean, CNN.
I may not debate as well as I used to, but I do know is how to tell the truth.
CNN, their own guy came out and showed that he lied in almost everything he freaking said across the whole. Yeah, nobody died.
Was a good one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The whole thing was complete tripe. I mean, he had, there's 100 trillionaires. There's no trillionaires at all. You know, and it just goes on and on and on. Now, some of them might just be you could say were misspokes. You know, he misspoke, but at some point in time, how many mistakes are you going to say, call out at one point? I mean, it was ridiculous. The whole thing was ridiculous. Slack jawed. I mean, if he would have started drooling, nobody would have been surprised.
He couldn't even do that. Look. The look on his face, I mean, he's like, oh.
It's like, come on, please kick in drugs because,
all right. You gave me too much.
Fiddling with his ear? They didn't give him the they even admitted. I saw where the one gal says, well, he had the questions. He had all the questions already. And then he's fiddling with his ear. They showed that.
I can't think of the lady's name that was a moderator, but she's like pointing
Dana
the finger, going,
Dash,
you know, to the
whatever.
Next one, because he didn't even know who was asking the question. And she's like, they got her on film, you know, she's like doing, you know, look over there, Joe, look over there.
Unbelievable. So you know, at what point in time do you just go, you know, there's a problem here?
Well, it's been...
So
how does his wife feel about putting him out there like that? Isn't that kind of abusive to somebody here? I know.
Who's ever calling in?
I'll go get it.
Keep on the line. Linda's going to answer it, I guess. Otherwise, you have to call back in a minute. We got the producers out of the room for a second here. Hold on. Let me see. Yeah, she's answering it for you. And we'll get you on the air, whoever it is. But, well, assuming that you're a civil person who wants to have a conversation. Oh, my gosh.
So whoever was trying to call in, go ahead and call back. She just missed you.
There she goes. There you go. Things are just so crazy right now. Do we live in the world of crazy at this point? Yeah.
Well, and you've got Joe at the end of the debate. There's three stairs, and it appeared that two people needed to help him down the three stairs that are there. I mean, you look at it. At this point, it's elder abuse, in my opinion. He doesn't know where the hell he's at. He seems genuinely like he's a politician, wants to smile and wave at everybody, but doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And that was the big takeaway for the debate, in my opinion.
Well, here's my big takeaway. We could be lied to about anything. That's my big takeaway, because at the end of the day, they've been lying about Joe Biden for years now, about his cognitive dissonance and or his cognitive abilities, not dissident, but come on, the guy's been in trouble for corn pop and hairy legs, and
he's a bad dude.
Rubbing him under pressure. This guy has been off the rails for a long time. It's not like this is news to anybody who's actually been following the truth or cared about it. Here's an uncontroversial statement. Joe Biden is unfit to be the president of the United States. The Democrats know it. The Republicans know it. People in the media know it. World leaders know it. You know it, and I know it. Putting aside all of the bipartisan biases or partisan biases for a second, think of all the endless deluge of clips where the current president of the United States is all screwed up. It goes on and on and on and on. And so at what point in time do you go, they've been lying to me. Okay, so if they've been lying to you about this, what else have they been lying to you about? They've been lying to you, well, we know they lied about the vaccines. We know they lied about the virus. We know they lied about, the COVID. We know, we could go on and on and on.
Everything.
The Russia collusion. They've lied to you about everything. So you have to come to a conclusion. Either you don't care, and in my book, you're probably an evil person who doesn't care about anything but himself, or whatever. I don't know. I don't care about anything. Or you're dumber than a board, and the truth doesn't matter. Or
I just live in fantasy. I don't know.
I don't know.
We do have a caller. We've got Nick on the line. He wants to make a comment about the subject.
Which subject are we talking about, Nick? Good morning.
Hey, they've been lying to us since the JFK assassination.
Bingo.
That was one big lie. But,
maybe before that.
To the point of Joe Biden's debate, it looked to me like they mistimed the drugs because his speech got better as he went on. When he first got up there, it looked like they hadn't hit yet. And as he went on, his speech and pronunciation got a little bit better. But, you know, about 10 minutes before it was over, there was a shot of him, and his eyes looked like silver dollars. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the stare of a tweaker when they just really get hit hard with some crank.
Well, it's kind of like when you're an alcoholic, you know. I've seen alcoholics where they look pretty good until they hit that one level.
Until they don't.
Well, they hit a level where all of a sudden, boom, they just go stupid, and you can see it. But what happens is if you're doing drugs over and over and over again, after a while, they don't affect you as much. But when they do, the effect is overwhelmingly negative as opposed to having the positive result.
Well, you don't
know
how much more you got to take to get the same effects. So sometimes they overdo it or it takes longer to get there.
Hey, just
well,
to jump.
In my opinion, that's what happened, and that was a cranker stare if I ever saw one, probably mixed up with another cocktail of drugs. So anyway, have a great day.
Thanks. All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks for weighing in on that. Yeah. All I can say is, cut me, Nick. You know, you just go on and on and on with this crap, and people, so I'm not even saying I like Trump. I've never, ever even said that I like Trump. I like MAGA. I like the idea of making America great.
Great again?
You know, I think that's a, I mean, who wouldn't want your country to be great? I mean, we were the greatest in the world for the longest time because of our economic system of freedom and liberty.
Yeah, but did you, and I'm sure you talked about it earlier, about the comments after the debate on the other side saying, did you see how bad Trump was? They didn't bring up how he wasn't doing well with the debate. It's like, okay.
Trump didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, this whole debate, I think, worked in Trump's favor by mistake. Because, you know, Trump's a little bit of a hothead. He's a fighter. He's
a counterpuncher. Yeah, but he didn't do that during the debate at all. Yeah.
Because he couldn't. Because
so, well, there was nothing to fight about.
So they gave him, they shut his mic off so he couldn't even if he wanted to, so he had to sit there. And so he'd have to calm down and maybe think about what's going on, get a little perspective. And then, you know, if your enemy's killing themselves, you know.
Just let him do it.
Let him do it. I mean, I think that's the mistake they made in the first round of, back in 2020. Is let this guy just kill himself because that's what he wasn't quite as bad then maybe as he is now. But the real deal is the longer he talked, the more you started to get, the cringes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's elements of it too. I feel like his, whoever was coaching him on this one, let him know that he definitely needed to get the moderates and the independents because that's the only people that are left. And so I feel like.
There's people left?
In that regard, I feel like they told him, hey, don't say anything too incendiary. Don't say anything else. Try to be an adult here and try to do it that
way.
Put
on your big boy pants. Well, they said that they had prepped him for over a week prior to the debate is what I heard. I don't know if that's true. And he still did what he did.
So I guess the question is, are they going to try to replace him? Well,
I don't know.
I mean, we've been hearing that. I don't know if they can actually pull it off because they've waited so long because what I'm hearing, and again, this is just me reading articles and trying to get as much information as they can on it, is the fact is that I'm hearing that they can't switch him onto the ballots in three of the key swing states because the law says that because these elections aren't, the rules are not at the federal level. Each state has its own individual rules and each state runs their own elections. And so there's some overall guidelines for everybody, but evidently there's at least three key swing states that in order for him to get on the ballot, somebody else on the ballot, he has to be dead. Okay, he died, whatever, happened, assassination, something, you know. He can't physically be, alive. And then two is that they'd have to, exercise the 25th Amendment because he's not capable cognitively or whatever to actually fulfill the office. Well, we already got a report from her saying that he's just a doddering old man that is good-natured and likes ice cream, but he can't be held accountable even though he did break the law because he's not all there. But they should have started that a long time ago because now what do we got? How many months till? It's going to take a little while to actually initiate that type of
procedure. We got like 128 days before the election. It's not like there's a big period of time, about 128 days.
Well, I was wondering, though it might be a little bit off topic, what you guys think of RFK.
You know, I don't like him because he's a liberal to the point of stupid about some topics, but he does tell the truth about some other stuff that I do like. So
there's some things, but he had to. They forced him to run independent, I believe, and now I don't think he can switch to the Democratic ticket. I don't know.
Wouldn't he be? I mean, assuming because I think he believes his father was assassinated by the CIA, right?
He does.
Oh yeah.
He be? I would be willing to vote if it meant that the CIA was going to get punished, but. Do you think he'd get assassinated, or do you think there's no chance the CIA would get away with it?
I think that Trump's got a bigger chance of being assassinated than RFK because, RFK doesn't hold the clout that Trump does. That's the issue. You know, if RFK had a chance of getting in there and actually becoming president, then you might have a point. But right now, his chances are little and none, so why would they bother?
Well, he can't get Secret Service right now, but he has his own detail protecting him right now because they won't allow him to have Secret Service right now.
Who knows? I mean, we're living in freaking la-la world here at this point. I don't know. I mean, the fact that we even have an election is going to be
But what happens if they say all of a sudden that, you know, Joe is incapable of...
Well, I think there's a process.
I think that's the plan that they're trying to do right now. I mean, after everybody in the world saw resting 25th Amendment face on Joe Biden, I mean, that's basically where we're at.
But we need to research the process a little bit because who's going to initiate it? I think the Congress initiates it. And you gotta,
I'm not sure on
and
that.
You got to kind of have some kind of cohesiveness between the Senate and the House. And I'm not sure they would get it from the House because I think they would rather see Biden at this point on the ticket than anybody else because I don't think Biden can win, and I think the Democrats all know it too. So let's go to our caller.
Oh, it's Jimmy. Are you there, Jimmy? Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I watched that debate, and I was kind of pleasantly surprised in a way because I knew that the moderators were going to ask certain questions,
mm-hmm.
and... But I thought they weren't going to let, because did you guys notice how after they'd ask Joe Biden a question, he'd answer it, and then they would go to Trump and ask him another question, but Trump wouldn't answer the question. He would retort Joe's comments.
Well, that's easy to explain. I mean, if I was Trump, I would have done exactly the same thing because what they want to do is not let him respond to any of Joe's answers or anything that Joe says and move him on. And it worked against him because mm-hmm. Trump just said, I'm not going to play your guys' game. I'm going to do it my way. And I commend the guy for that because the real deal is that they were trying to control the narrative and he just said, I'm not going to play it.
Exactly. But that's what surprised me because I told my wife, I said they were going to do that. But when Trump started to retort, they were going to cut him off, and they really didn't do that.
Well, because they couldn't, because it would have been so obvious that it was so one-sided that if they cut him off every time he tried to speak or every time he said something, there's no debate at all. There's nothing to even talk about. Just let Joe do a speech.
But Trump was very disciplined in the way he answered, and he stayed that way through the whole debate, and I think they weren't expecting him to. I think they thought that he would, you know, get mouthy or whatever, and he didn't do it.
Maybe they gave Joe some speed and Trump some...
one of them uppers, one of them downers.
I don't know, but he stayed very focused. I mean, Trump stayed the same all the way through the debate.
We still don't know where the cocaine in the White House came from.
Well, it certainly wasn't the Biden family, don't you know that?
It came from Bolivia.
Well, it could have been Peruvian, too. Come on, let's be real.
Right, but one quick thing, too, is that the only thing that I didn't like about Trump is that when he did retort, like, say, the child care question they asked him, mm-hmm. he used that time to retort Joe Biden's comments, but he didn't take, like, the last 20 seconds to do a quick answer.
Right.
That's the only thing I think he didn't. Anyway.
Well, I don't think he had his best night, but, you know, again, it's kind of the way the rules are set up. It's kind of weird anyway. You can't bring any notes. You can't, you know, I mean, they tried to
channel. Joe had notes.
They totally tried to channel this thing the Democratic way, and it completely backfired.
Yeah. Well, and I think they thought Joe was going to do better than what he did. He really didn't, you know, I really, honestly think that they thought he would do better.
All I know is about a minute or two in, I go, he's melting down.
Yeah. Anyways, hey, Mark, towards the end of the show, could you do some comments maybe on gold and silver and the economy maybe?
I will put a note down to myself.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, bud.
You bet.
All right, guys.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Very good.
Well, we'll go to our next caller, and if it's the Dave, I think it is, if you can't behave yourself, we will get rid of you.
Yeah,
so good morning, Dave.
Stay on topic, at least try it.
Hey. Anyway, I was just talking about the... about Biden being in there. I think he's just going to be...
Well, this is another day.
Yeah, it is another.
Go ahead, Dave. Well, I'm sorry. We thought you were somebody else. Go ahead.
Oh, I see. Yeah, anyway, I just think Biden's going to stay in there until the DNC appoints somebody in his position. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think he can, though. The problem is that...
We don't know for sure.
They can appoint somebody, but that doesn't mean they can get him on the ballot in all the states, which is going to negate their whole thing. If they can't get him on the ballot
people don't need to vote, you know what I mean?
Well, there is that. That's called a coup.
Well, that's just how they do it. You know what I mean?
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I wouldn't put anything past these guys because these guys have done everything under anything they could do to stop Trump from getting into office. That ought to tell you everything you want to know. And they have broke the law so many times doing it. It's ridiculous. And now we've got new information on the CIA coming out this last week or so. And we're going to cover some of this stuff.
And this is something we've never dealt with before. We have never in the history of America that I know of that we've been in this position with candidates or president or whatever.
Our government has been weaponized against the people.
It's like,
there's no
wow.
question.
Uncharted
right.
waters.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I just think they're just going to appoint somebody at the end anyway.
You might be right. I don't know. We'll see. Wait and see. I guess it's time to storm the Bastille at that point then, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Democrat voters will be mad, but what are they going to do, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not in control.
Yeah.
They got that right.
Well, and there's elements of it to where... You look at, from my understanding of the 25th Amendment, if they ended up taking Biden out, it would be Kamala that would end up taking the place of that person. And then if, for some reason, Kamala couldn't end up doing the job, then it would end up going to Nancy Pelosi or Speaker of the House, whoever is the Speaker of the House. I think they ended up replacing him, right? So.
Well, now they're in line if something happens to him, but not... So Kamala would be in line, and then Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House if something happens to Joe. It's not whether he just steps. If he just resigns, then Kamala steps in, and everybody hates Kamala, and everybody hates Pelosi. So I don't know.
It's interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways they could go. I mean, either way, whatever happens, somebody's going to pardon somebody.
Hey, thanks for the call,
Dave. We appreciate you calling in. Yeah, I mean, this is an area that we've never been in. Who knows what's going to happen in 128 days?
I got the chat room, Sally. If they give the independents someone new to vote for, is that 16%? Why? I'm not sure what exactly your question is. Does that mean he's going to pull 60% of the vote off of both the other candidates? Or I think he's going to pull most of the votes if they put RFK in, for example, off of Biden. I mean... You know, is he going to pull some votes from Trump? Maybe. I don't think so, though. I think Trump's base is so strong at this point that they're going to vote. Who's going to vote? Are you going to vote for a felon? Yeah, I'm voting for the outlaw. I mean, you go right down the line, and he just gets stronger and stronger and stronger because they know that they're trying to vote.
Yeah, that really backfired on him when they, you know, tried to use that as a weapon against voting for Trump. He's a felon, and, you know, people are like, okay, I'm voting for a felon, I guess.
So I got a little clip here from Maria Bartiromo. About replacing Biden on the ballot. Let's listen to this real quick. It's a couple minutes and see what it says, and then we can move on to the next topic or whatever we want to talk about.
President Biden's reelection campaign after his disastrous debate performance on Thursday against former President Trump, with the calls getting louder from many Democrats for the president to be replaced on the ballot with another candidate. During the 90-minute debate Thursday night, Biden appeared confused, at times incoherent, losing his train of thought on multiple topics as the world looked on.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare,
he's ready to beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroyed.
I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more border patrol and more asylum officers.
I don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
He wants to get away with get rid of the ability of Medicare to us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies. Well, guess what? We got it down to $35 for insulin instead of $400.
Immediately following the debate, reaction was fierce with columnists from the New York Times, The Atlantic, The Daily Beast, among others, calling for the president to step down as the Democrat nominee over his performance on the debate stage, not over his record as the commander-in-chief. So let's take a look at Biden's record. Under President Biden's leadership, overall inflation is up nearly 20%, while real wages are down 2.2%, but inflation is factored in. And the U.S. national debt is approaching $35 trillion, largely due to the trillions of dollars in new spending on Joe Biden's watch. Meanwhile, more than 10 million migrants have illegally entered America. 2 million of them gotaways that we have no intention what their intentions are, and we have no idea where they are. Hundreds of others have been apprehended on the terrorist watch list at the southern border, while China has been ramping up its aggression against the United States as it looks to replace America as the global superpower. Joining me now with reaction in this Sunday Morning Futures exclusive.
So I think that kind of tells you a little something there. There's some issues and some problems, and yeah,
that's just a few of them.
Getting kind of ugly, but I don't know. I mean, it's funny. They're talking about his cognitive his cognitive problems, but the real deal is it's not necessarily even about that. The guy's policy has pretty much wrecked everything at this point. At what point in time do you start saying, "Hey, the guy's freaking wrecking the place, man. We need to throw him out."
I mean, what has changed for the good since he's been in there?
Holding the line.
I mean, let's
I'm
face
really
it.
I'm really sincerely trying to think of something.
Yeah, I mean, there is nothing that has gotten better for anybody, really.
I don't know.
Yeah, they try to go on, you hear all the time, the jobs are better, employment's better. Then we find out all the numbers were fake.
Well, we've been seeing that as in economics, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later, too, as well. But in the economic front, I mean, they've been falsifying the numbers on the jobs and the GDP for months. Yep. What they do on the jobs is they'll come out with a number and they'll say, oh, look, it's 400,000 new jobs created. And then a month later or so, it comes back and, oh, we have to do a slight correction. It was only 200. So they've been doing that for the last 3 years. They keep saying, oh, we've created all these jobs, and they're not creating any even close to the jobs. And some of the jobs are government jobs.
Yeah, most of them are.
Yeah, if you sit there and spend all this money, and we talked about the employee retention credit, for example. I know guys that got $500,000 for doing nothing to retain their employees. Well, if the economy goes south on you, and your product and services are not being bought, and you still get $500,000 from the government, as an example, to keep your employees there, does that mean your business is going to be successful when your money runs out on the employee retention credit? If you haven't been using that in some way to, and this is basic business, income, expenses, cash flow, people who are in business understand exactly what I'm talking about, and the rest of you guys that are on a job don't, because the real deal is if you don't increase the money coming in, and don't have the money to pay for the money going out, at some point that's called bankruptcy.
Yeah, okay? If your expenses exceed your income, you're in trouble.
Oh, this gaslighting crap. Oh, the economy's doing great or better. Look around. All the freaking stores in town are almost closed. There's more and more restaurants closing even as we speak.
So I got another
Walmart
one here.
Walmart closed. Or no, what's the other?
Walgreens.
Walgreens. They're closing. Go ahead.
Rite Aid, bunch of other ones. But here's one as of yesterday that might just affect the farmers and your food prices and things like that. John Deere announces mass layoffs in Midwest and production shift to Mexico.
See, I think that's where this whole thing is going, is this is going to a starve-you-out type of a situation.
Control your food.
If you're not ready for this and you're not been storing things, you got a real problem.
Yeah, because it's controlling the food and everything.
So I guess we got a couple seconds here.
Because like in Idaho, it's the water. They're trying to control all of that. Even the
this is all done on purpose. Yep. And if you don't think China's involved or the world governing organization, whoever's trying to take over, you're crazy. Because these people are trying to take the country over at whatever means necessary. And Sun Tzu, their idea is not to fire shots, but to walk in and own everything. That's what's going on. And if you can't see it, then you're not looking.
Yeah. And it's amazing, just like you say about John Deere, look at all the companies that have been here for years and years and years that are having to close up or, cut way back because of everything that's going on.
That's
because
the economy's doing so well.
So they're the largest seller of tractors and crop harvesters, has announced another wave of layoffs Friday. 610 production staff at the plants in Illinois and Iowa will be out of a job by the end of this summer.
It's just going to continue. Yep. This is going to continue happening until the market collapses, and all these people in these government jobs that are depending on these stocks and these pension plans, you're going to lose.
We need to count do like it. Javier is doing. I'm just saying. And maybe we'll go over that a little bit in the next hour.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR.
We'll see you on the other side.
By Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health. Your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herrick. President Biden is trying to reassure worried Democrats after his dismal debate appearance.
A day after delivering what even many Democrats said was a disastrous debate performance, the president acknowledged it wasn't his best moment. He told a crowd of supporters that he's not a young man anymore.
I don't debate as well as I used to. But I know what I do know. I know how to tell the truth.
That was a reference to Donald Trump's multiple false or questionable claims at Thursday's debate. With some Democrats worried about Biden on the ticket, the president said he's getting back up after getting knocked down. Greg Clugston, Washington.
But a deep sense of concern is growing among some Democratic officials and leaders inside of Joe Biden's campaign that the DNC is not taking seriously enough the impact of the terrible debate. DNC Chairman Jamie Harrison did not acknowledge Mr. Biden's weak showing or the avalanche of criticism followed during a Saturday afternoon call with dozens of DNC members from across the country. He also refused to take any questions. Political commentator Matt Continetti says he was taken aback last week by comments from the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, and her criticism of Israel.
What we need is a U.N. ambassador who stands up for Israel, who stands up for America, who stands up for the principles of freedom and democracy, which are only represented in the Middle East in the Jewish state of Israel, and to stand up for the Jewish people.
He was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. French President Emmanuel Macron has voted in the first round of surprise elections today that he called just 3 weeks ago. The centrist leader placed a huge gamble in dissolving the lower house of parliament after major gains by conservatives in European elections that took place earlier this month. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You'll hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now.
800-583-0141.
Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call
800-583-0141. That's 800-583-0141.
Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
It has been a decade since ISIS declared its caliphate in large parts of Iraq and Syria.
The nearly 5 years of rule by the so-called Islamic State, inflicted on millions of citizens in Iraq and Syria, will be remembered for its extreme brutality. It targeted Christians, Shia Muslims, ethnic Yazidis, policemen and their families, anyone, in fact, who opposed its narrow and violent version of Sharia, Islamic law. The group lost the last of its physical territory in 2019, but it has since shifted its focus to sub-Saharan Africa. Further east, its Afghan branch is thought to be responsible for deadly attacks this year in Iran and Russia, as well as elsewhere.
BBC correspondent Frank Gardner. Authorities in Nigeria's northeastern city of Gwoza say at least 18 people have been killed, 30 injured, including 19 seriously, in coordinated attacks by suspected suicide bombers today. News and analysis at townhall.com. A sad story out of Texas.
A driver has been convicted in the deaths of 8 people struck by an SUV at a crowded bus stop outside a migrant shelter and sentenced to 60 years in prison. Texas jury convicting 35-year-old George Alvarez on Friday. Authorities say Alvarez lost control of his vehicle after running a red light in May of 2023 in Brownsville. Authorities say he also had cocaine in his system. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, June the 30th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including Olympic track champion Billy Mills. He's 86 years old. Oceanographer Robert Ballard turns 82 today, while singer-songwriter Glenn Shorrock of the Little River Band is 80. Boxer Mike Tyson has 58 candles on his cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Every breath he takes, I'm here for the truth, to expose his lies. Watch out, Sleepy Joe, it's your demise. Debate's coming up, it's the showdown of the year. He's claiming I'm the evil one, but check his history. The world was peaceful under my reign, now it's gone to hell. Chaos and crime. Anyone watching can tell. Hero of the people, I'm standing tall and proud, exposing all his treachery, shouting it out loud. Debate's the battleground, truth versus lies. Big dogs taking over, watch Sleepy Joe's demise. Big dog's the hero, Sleepy Joe the fake. Lying to the people, every breath he takes. I'm here for the truth, to expose his lies. Watch out, Sleepy Joe, it's your demise.
Sovereign Minds.
There we are.
There we are. We're back, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, your truth radio, I like to say. I guess we'll play the town hall meeting
real quick.
Yeah, before
we do, I just have to ask, has there ever been a president in the past that we've had so much discussion about their mental capabilities?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not like we've lived forever. But,
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I mean.
Okay. Let's, that's a poser. Let's move on.
I'm just asking.
Here we go. Town hall.
Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm T.B. Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. In a shocking turn of events, Tyler McCain's domestic violence trial faces potential dismissal due to his wife Nikki Chang Saley McCain's disappearance since May 18, 2024. On June 28, District Attorney Stephanie Bridget moved to dismiss charges stemming from a December 2023 incident, citing insufficient evidence. Judge Daniel Flynn postponed the decision to July 5, allowing time for new developments. McCain faces serious charges of corporal injury, false imprisonment, criminal charges, and assault. Court records detail severe abuse, including facial trauma and multiple strikes. Nikki's vehicle was found on May 25th in Tehama County. Community searches continue with a $10,000 reward offered on June 4th for the safe return of Nikki, while the Shasta County Sheriff's Office maintains an active investigation. This case underscores the complexities of prosecuting domestic violence when the victim is missing. The July 5th hearing will determine whether the trial proceeds or charges are dismissed. We urge anyone with information that can help bring Nikki home to please contact Lieutenant Chris Edwards at 530-245-6134
1-800-875-8255 or for anonymous tips at 530-378-4491. On Tuesday, Shasta County residents woke to widespread internet outages after vandals cut crucial cable lines in South Reading. The sabotage affected Spectrum Charter Communications and Verizon 4G customers across multiple communities, including Reading, Shasta Lake, Palisadro, and Anderson. Over 650 strands of fiber line were severed before 4:35 a.m., disrupting services throughout the Reading area basin. Repair crews worked tirelessly, tripling their numbers by 10 a.m. to restore service. Most connections were reestablished by late afternoon. The incident caused significant disruptions for local businesses, forcing many to turn away customers unable to pay with cash. Downtown shops reported lost sales and operational challenges throughout the day. As authorities investigated, they uncovered evidence that could lead to identifying the culprits, urging anyone with information to come forward. In other news, Shasta County supervisors slammed the brakes on jail tax. The supervisors unanimously rejected putting a 1 cent sales tax increase on the November ballot to fund jail expansion. The proposal, deemed dead on arrival, faced skepticism even from potential supporters. Supervisors cited low public support and the failure of a similar measure in 2020. The decision leaves the aging downtown Reading jail's future uncertain. Alternatives, including seeking Proposition 1 bond funding or using opioid settlement money for treatment centers, were suggested. The board emphasized the need for a more attainable and specific plan with community input. The existing jail, opened in 1984, is past its life expectancy and faces security issues due to its design. The supervisors had discussed expanding the facility by 256 beds, but now must explore other options. Moving on, a Shasta County election challenge was dismissed. A judge ruled against Laura Hobbs' lawsuit contesting the Shasta County special election results. Hobbs, a defeated District 2 supervisor candidate, claimed the county clerk and registrar of voters' office erred in ballot candidate placement. The judge cited a lack of substantial evidence, criticizing Hobbs' legal team for their courtroom conduct. Despite using a random formula, the office didn't follow the state-mandated selection. Hobbs' attorney, Alexander Halberbusch, argues that ballot order affects election outcomes and plans to appeal. The case highlights the importance of proper election procedures and the challenges in proving their impact on results. As the dust settles, Shasta County moves forward, but questions linger about election integrity. Finally, in a heartwarming story, Dignity Health's Connected Living Food Bank in Reading has unveiled a massive expansion to serve those in need. With a staggering 30% food insecurity rate in the area, the food bank's leadership recognized the growing need for their services and took action. The expansion includes a walk-in freezer, more storage, and additional staff, allowing them to say yes to new opportunities and reach more people than ever before. Funded by a $1.3 million state grant and $500,000 in community support, the food bank now aims to create a network of agencies fighting food insecurity and implement a backpack and food program for local students by August. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Yeah, a lot of stuff there.
Wow, yeah.
I do want to, again, encourage everybody to get a hold of Kevin Cry on this Nathan Pinckney thing. I think you can go to the Board of Supervisors, Shasta County Board of Supervisors, go to the Board of Supervisors contacts and get his email and shoot him an email and tell him what your thoughts are, good or bad, whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea.
So, yeah, I just want to make a comment about the Laura Hobbs thing. You know, the judge said that it was profound, that, you know, there was no findings or standings for her bringing a case, even though Joanna admitted to the problem.
Well, I'm at the point now, I don't trust
the
judiciary
really?
Anymore at all, because, or the DA. I've seen what they've done.
Well, yeah, we know about the DA.
So, I mean, that's the problem, is when you undermine trust in the systems completely, then that's why we don't trust the vote anymore. These guys that are out there, oh, there's never been anything that's shown that there's voter fraud. There's so much going
on.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's absolutely ridiculously stupid, just because you listen to Mika and the idiot on MSNBC, Joe Scarborough, and you don't get any information, doesn't mean there's nothing going on. And that's part of the problem, is that...
Well, yeah, we know that. We know that, you know, there's judges and DAs and stuff that are in the system that Soros put there. But
well, and you know, there's things going on constantly. I see a guy just got arrested in Arizona for... you know, breaking into the voting machines there. I mean, I don't know. All I'm saying is that I just want vote. I want a fair election that's transparent. Because if let's say, for example, the Democrats are not cheating, and they're electing people in the places that we've been seeing. Okay, that's fine. At least we can address the issue properly, as opposed to if we don't trust the fact that the vote's being counted properly, that's the issue. But if you get it to the point where you know the votes are being properly counted, well, then the issue is that maybe you need to go out there and talk to people, free speech, you know, the marketplace of ideas so that you can change people's minds for good ideas or bad ideas. We've seen what's been going on with the censorship. Why do you think the economy's in the tank so bad? Because they've been censoring all opposing views.
Yeah.
So,
and there, you know, matter what side you're on, there is question on certain things about the election.
No question.
Yeah, you know, so if there's a question, what is the problem with addressing the issue and finding out what's going on?
Why not just make it so that people can trust it?
Yeah, exactly.
Not that hard.
Well, evidently it is for some people, depending on what side you're on. You know, but with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Stones. Good morning, Stones.
Good morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
It is.
Hey, I support Joe Biden for re-election. I support Nathan Pinckney for the election commission. Cathy Allen did a great job. Oh, wait.
Are you on a cocktail that Joe Biden recommends?
I'm on the Joe Biden cocktail. Can you tell?
It's kicking in.
Hey, school board elections. school board elections, right? Every 2 years, we have approximately 70 school board seats up in the county. Please, everybody. The filing window begins July 15th for about 3 weeks. If you want to see some change in your school board, hopefully for the better, let's get rid of the status quo, although Anderson High School has been kicking tail for a year plus now. They have done so many good things there, and too many to list. Maybe Jackie will get on your show one day and kind of talk about what's going on. That would actually be a good topic. Because that has happened in Shasta County. You can fight back. And they are one of about four school districts in the entire state that are showing us how to do it. So, anyways, please, everybody, let's get some good conservatives in to all these school boards around the county. I think the primary focus this season will be the County Office of Education. There are four of the seven seats are up. Author's seat is not up. He's only been there 2 years. And, let's see what we can do with a fair and transparent election, right? Everything is related. Everything ties in. Let's get a fair and transparent election with Mr. Toller, and let's see if we can turn that SCOE board from a 6-1 establishment leftist to a, we can literally go from a 6-1 minority to a 5-2 majority in one election. Is it possible? Is it likely? Whatever. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. And SCOE, even though they're an independent board, they are tied in with all the other school boards via many state and federal programs. The SCOE assists the school boards with budgetary matters. And by the way, the SCOE can set the political tone for the schools in the entire county. So that's going to be a very important race this year. What do you think?
No, I totally agree. I think people need to start getting out there and getting involved in their communities. I mean, there's always a core group of people doing a lot of stuff, but we can't win unless everybody starts to stepping up and doing what they can in their individual capacities to affect change.
Get back to the whole idea of liberals don't have kids, they have yours.
Yeah, and if they don't have any, they want yours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, it just makes me think of over this last week I saw, it's like if you take your kid to Disneyland right now, you're a freaking idiot. I mean, they don't have, we don't walk down through the Disneyland on parade with Mickey Mouse anymore and Donald Duck. And,
well, if you allow them to watch the movies or anything to do with Disney is,
Now we've got
a problem.
Now we've got Penelope the drag queen, mm-hmm. and Ursula the half naked man that pretends he's a woman. I mean, it's like what the hell?
Don't forget Nickelodeon and Blues Clues did do this last week. Yeah. That was beyond disgusting.
Yeah.
I know. I'm so glad my kid watched that stuff before they went hard. I mean, I'm really glad. He missed all the woke card stuff.
It's
so,
really sad. It's really sad because the kids are, it's hard to pick out what your kids, you can comfortably let your kids watch because they got to have something. You want to educate them that, you know, that you want to give them a good education and you want them to retain that childhood innocence so that they see the world in the light of butterflies and sunlight and smiles. It's crazy.
80s, 90s, and early 2000s. That's about where you want to keep them. Anything past that and you start seeing the suck.
So one more comment. I have one more comment on the school board, but quickly since we're down this tangent. Tuttle Twins. Look up Tuttle Twins.
I actually donate to the Tuttle Twins.
They have a good book series.
Yep.
But,
yes, they do.
Like six months ago, I saw they were supposed to start a cartoon series.
No, they've been.
Kids,
no, so. The Tuttle Twins cartoons are on YouTube. You can watch them.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they're there. Good. They have their, you just do Tuttle Twins and subscribe and you get them all
there. Yep, very traditional Americana stuff there. So that's good stuff for the kids. Back to SCOE real quick. Last election cycle, this bolt in a china shop got 12,000, I believe, 600 votes. I got 600 more than a 10-year incumbent to buy Rhonda Hall. Enjoy your retirement. And this next cycle, with four seats being up, they will likely be eight or nine candidates. And so we're looking at a 50-50 shot for the folks that file for SCOE. We're looking at a 50-50 shot that they get a seat. So this is going to be very interesting. Anyways, that's all I have today, folks.
All right, thanks for calling in.
I'm glad I called in to let know how many seats were open because, you know, if people don't know about the elections or what's going on, sometimes they forget when things are coming up, you know.
Yeah, I want to, talking about elections, I wanted to go back to that story at the top of the hour with Joe Biden, and he's going, oh, gee, you know, we got a minute.
No, just 1 second real quick. Oh. So in regards to things that your kids can watch, on YouTube there is a show called Liberty Kids. It's totally free. You can go on there, and they have about 40.
What's it on? What channel?
On YouTube.
Liberty Kids.
Liberty Kids is good, dude.
They're actually entertaining and good and not, like, weird
or
anything.
Where do you see it at? YouTube?
Or? YouTube, and they've got it on there, and it is Liberty Kids / Wild Brain. And you'll be able to find it. If you just search up Liberty Kids, you'll be able to see it. But you've got close to about 55 episodes, and it goes through the Midnight Ride, the Shot Heard Around the World,
is
the Green
that
Mountain
the same,
Boys.
Lady that does Constituting America or whatever
no,
her.
That's Janine Turner, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that her?
I don't know. I think it might be. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. But as far as age ranges, I'd say probably anywhere from like 5 to 9 years old would be ideal for about this
that's
age range.
Like Republican Bill Nye right there.
if it's her, we should contact hold of her because we've had her
I'll
on the radio.
I'll have to look,
the,
but it kind of rings a bell that they had something like that going
on.
Yeah, we've
had her
I'll
on in the
up.
Past.
Yeah.
She's a real nice lady. She probably
come on. But they do have programs. I don't know about cartoons, but, you know, it makes a bet because when we were little growing up, Disney was a fun place to go. You didn't have to work.
I love Disney. I loved all that.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to the Joe Biden thing.
Which part of
Joe the part Biden. Where they were talking about Joe Biden is now mea culpa. Oh, I had a bad night, but, you know, they're trying to frame him as the kid from Scranton, the little criminal that could, you know, I think I can. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like the narrative just, it's ridiculous. So, let's move along. And I want to talk about the Chevron decision.
Oh,
that's
going to
be
doctrine.
A shot heard around the world.
Well, I have a gal here on YouTube that was, or not in YouTube, I'm sorry, on X. I just wonder, X, what does that mean? But this, she kind of explains a little bit of it, and we're just going to, you know, kind of touch the topic and go through some of it. I got an article from
Epoch
Times.
Yeah, this
was
a big decision.
But she explains what it's kind of all about, and this is a big deal. I hat tip to my brother. He's the one that got my eyes focused on this, our brother. And
I got the information from somebody
depends
else.
Depends on what
but,
side
yeah.
of the family you're but, on.
Okay. Well,
ain't nothing but a thing.
So anyway, this was a big decision that came out. I believe it came out on Friday.
All right, here we go. This gal explains it. This is from Eve on X, and here we go.
While all you normies are focused on the debate and the election question from last night, something far more consequential just went down today, thanks to the Supreme Court. Stick with me. I'm going to explain how a group of fishermen just took down the fourth branch of government and restored the Constitution. Okay, so in 1984, you had a bunch of judges at the time who were what we call judicial activists, meaning that they are not really restrained to interpretations of the law based on the Constitution or originalism or even based on, like, stare decisis, which means precedent that's come before. Instead, they just tend to make up law that best suits them. So in 1984, there was a ruling known as the Chevron Doctrine. And in it, the court basically said that when Congress writes a piece of legislation giving unelected bureaucrats and government agencies power to oversee something, if there's ambiguity in that law, the agency, the bureaucrats, the experts, get to basically just decide what their own powers are. Not the courts, not Congress, the unelected bureaucrats. So needless to say, this has coincided with an absolute explosion in rules and regulations over the past several decades, to the point where I would argue Americans are no longer actually living in a representative government for a number of reasons, but predominantly because your elected lawmakers are not the ones really making most of the rules that govern your lives. Instead, it's what we call the fourth branch of government, a bunch of unelected bureaucrats and government agencies. And not only have they been given broad power to just make up powers for themselves because of the Chevron Doctrine, it's also made it really hard to check them when they do things that are unconstitutional. Because thanks to the Chevron Doctrine, which has been law of the land, if you were to try to challenge some of these rules and regulations and powers that they were giving themselves, the courts were told they had to defer to the agency. But in a case that was decided today, known as the Loper case, a group of fishermen brought a challenge to this law and they won, overturning the Chevron Doctrine. This is massive. Everybody in my movement, everybody in like libertarian conservative think tank world is freaking out. What this means is that the constitutional order that was supposed to exist is somewhat returned. Congress is supposed to make the laws. The executive is supposed to have a tiny check and balance on those laws with the veto power. And then the courts are supposed to decide what's constitutional. And if there's any ambiguity in there, it should be the courts that ultimately decide, and or it should get kicked back to Congress. Not only did Chevron allow a huge growth in the administrative state, it also allowed a huge growth in the power of the executive. And if you watched that debate last night and you're not convinced that we need to limit the government and limit the power of the executive, you are a lost cause, and you're one of the few. So because of that, the president has been able to just go to agencies and be like, hey, I can't get this law passed, but I really want to see this go down. You guys just, like, make up this power and go implement it. And there's been nothing we could do about it, but now we can. One thing I love about this and similar issues when they've come up is when the left loses, their whole argument is that this is a power grab. Like, no, it's actually just restoring the power to where it was supposed to be. But, like, think about that for a minute. I don't know how after 2020 to 2023 people still with a serious straight face tell us we should trust the experts. But that's literally their argument. They're like, the experts in these agencies know best. And how could the courts or Congress possibly speak to all the very complicated issues they work on? That's why they have staff. They have research fellows. They have amicus briefs. They have friends of the court. And honestly, if the government has its hands in so many issues that the people who are supposed to be governing can't have a thorough knowledge of the issues they're governing, then that again should show you that you need to limit the government. They're doing too much. There were three justices that voted against this, the usual suspects, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sotomayor, and Kagan. They're like the Looney Tunes far left of the court. And I want to read you from Kagan's dissent. She said, Congress often enacts regulatory laws that contain ambiguities and gaps. Which agencies must then interpret? The question is, who decides of the possible readings of those laws should prevail? The court should. Yours should. Do your job. Roman Martinez, who was the attorney that argued the case pro bono for the fisherman who brought it, he said the court has taken a major step to preserve the separation of powers and shut down unlawful agency overreach. Going forward, judges will be charged with interpreting the law faithfully, impartially, and independently without deference to the government. This is a win for individual liberty and the Constitution. I can't emphasize enough how important this legal precedent is. And I don't know about you, but I've sure needed some light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to our political system lately.
Oh, sorry, didn't cut it off quick enough. There's a lot to unpack there. We've seen this in tax laws, for example. The administration is making up its own rules as it goes along in the IRS. I mean, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And we've seen this slow overreach expanding faster and faster and faster to the point of you can't even get anything done anymore. It's so hard because they've implemented so many things to you need this or you need this or you can't do this or you can't do that.
You spend all your time
spinning your wheels and you can't get anything processed. And then they wonder why everybody's scrambling out there looking for a tax guy unless you're just going to file something with no deductions and owe a lot more than you legally are entitled to owe.
But there's a lot of the government agencies doing that. I mean, we see it with EDD. They're totally out of control with, like, the IRS in implementing different things. They just think because they want you to pay more money that what they say should go.
Boy, I'll tell you
now, it's crazy, the overreach. I mean,
don't forget 78,000 of them needed guns.
Oh, yeah. And look at what we got now. We got the fish and game carry guns. You know, all these people, don't tell me it's not overreach and trying to the power trip that they're putting in these guys' hands.
Well, it's true that this is getting to the point of really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I wanted to emphasize on this because of what's going on. And then we'll get into some economics and the debt crisis a little bit. But this, if you want to look this up, it's Loper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo. And it addresses what this lady that we just had on there talked about, the reasonable agency's interpretation of any ambiguity. But what they're doing is the courts wouldn't hear the cases. They'd just kick it back down to the agencies. So the agencies were just going off the charts, rewriting laws. I mean, the Constitution is set up so that the legislature is supposed to write the law, uh-huh. not a bunch of agencies under all these other. So what's happening is it consolidates more and more power into these agencies, and who's ever running the agencies, I don't know, have we had any problems with any three-letter agencies or anybody?
All of them, pretty much.
I mean, writing their own rules. Look at the 51 guys that, you know, this letter that they wrote, you know, saying that Russia was involved in the Hunter's laptop, which is a complete fabrication. I mean, they lied about the whole thing. Everybody knows it's now it got introduced into law and has been verified by the courts over the Hunter's application to buy a gun, and now they can't deny that it's actually real. But what about the fact that they all knew? It was so easy to verify that it wasn't a fabrication by the Russians, so they lied. So that's what we're talking about, is these agencies are just completely out of control, whether it's the federal government as far as the FBI, whether it's the state governments. You know, you get these agencies writing laws themselves and nobody that's going to check.
Right. And I want to clarify something. Yes, Fish and Game has always carried guns, but the Forest Service hasn't. And now you've got what we used to call pissfords out there that carry weapons. Just saying.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and with that, I guess we have to take a break, and we will pick up this conversation or another one on the other side. We'll see you in about 3 minutes.
Got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today, life is good today. Well, the plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head, I was still in the baggage line. Concrete cars of their own prison bars, like this life I'm living in. But the plane brought me farther, I'm surrounded by water, and I'm not going back again. I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today, life is good today.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Shasta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Work away tomorrow, never comes the day for my love and me. I feel her gently sighing as the evening slips away. If only you knew what's inside of me now.
Bit of, you know, AI's got its benefits. That's AI Moody Blues.
It's yeah, crazy it watching some of these coming undone.
It's crazy.
I
man.
Bet. Before we go on, I did say that I would make this announcement for one of our patriots out there in regards to their granddaughter. They're having a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. When she was 2 years old, she was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. And so they're doing a fundraiser for her on July 11th. And it's going to be at the Little Bear Creek Ranch, which is located at 6145 Parkville Road in Anderson. And again, it's going to be July 11th. Tickets are $40 each or a table of eight for $300. So if you can help this family out, it would be great. It's going to be a good time to go down there and show your support for them. Dinner will start at 4:00. So, again, mark your calendars for July 11th. And if you need to get a hold of somebody, I'm looking to see. There's a phone number on here. And I am not seeing one at the moment. I don't see a phone number. I'll see if I can get a phone number for you for that. But, again, July 11th.
Well, maybe somebody can call in if they got a number.
I got a number for the gram. I don't know if I can give that one out. And if it's on the flyer, I am missing it.
Okay. So maybe somebody will give us.
I mean, I have a QR code, but that doesn't do anything good over the radio.
All right. So I want to get back and let's talk about this. Epic Times thing again.
Chevron doctrine.
Doctrine, yeah. And I just wanted to kind of go over it a little bit, and then we'll move on. But it's something that's going to be in our sights here for a while. And so an administrative law principle that guides how federal courts interpret ambiguous or unclear statutes delegated to the federal agency. The doctrine was established in 1984 in a Supreme Court case, Chevron USA versus Natural Resource Defense Counsel, Inc. So. We already talked about how it defers federal agencies' interpretation of the statutes. And yeah, what ends up happening is that these federal agencies end up writing all the new rules. And rules are not law, but people don't know the difference between rules and law. And so if you looked at, they used to have actually disclaimers in the IRS publication to say this is not law, that corps may have made a decision more favorable to the taxpayers than this interpretation of the service. Until those differing interpretations are resolved, they'll stick to their guns, you know. And so that's what's kind of happening here, is people are starting to realize that that is a Pandora's box that, you know, opens up to a multitude of agencies coming after and eking out your property, your sustenance, everything. They end up, that's what communism does. I mean, the deal of communism is taking everybody's property. And that's what you end up with these agencies, is they just want everybody to just keep stoking their money into the machine so that they can get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so that's why all the jobs that have been created have all been government jobs, pretty much.
And people need to get the education. Just because they make policy doesn't make it law. And you need to know certain things about that, because, you know, a lot of times they'll say, oh, yeah, this is a policy. And people take it for granted that something can be done. But if it's not the law, that doesn't mean that it's so.
Well, there you have it. So let's see. I guess we're going to talk about the economy a little bit here.
Lack there.
Yeah. Oh, the economy's doing great out there. That's why.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Don't worry.
Except, you know, we're trying to take your water and your land and your food, but it's all good.
And you know, the food shortages are starting to get more and more prevalent. Beef shortages coming. I mean, at what point in time do you go, hey, this is all on accident, right?
Well, and once again, if you've got the tractors that are going down, that also means, all right, so you've got 610 people that now are not going to be able, in the Midwest, to be able to go and get service done at these locations. Now, instead, you're going to have to ship things off to Mexico. That's not going to cause any problems.
Or if you can get your tractor fixed.
There's that.
You know what I mean? What happens when you don't have any equipment to process your food out of your fields?
Well, and that was the big deal with John Deere a while ago that probably is leading to this, because they tried to do all kinds of proprietary crap where you can't fix your tractor unless you go to one of their service stations.
Right.
So now they're not going to have service stations, and so you're going to end up having to, what, ship it to Mexico? That's not going to cost
anything.
You can't
That's go
not going to cause downtime.
You can't go to Tractor Supply anymore because they're woke. Well, I guess they reversed that policy here, what I'm hearing, but because I guess the boycott worked, people just said, hey, and I was one of them, I'm not going to go buy anything at Tractor Supply anymore.
Well, why would you? Why would you? Any of these stores that have pride crap at the front of the store to just shove it in your face during Pride Month? No. I'm sorry. I'm going to go support a local business, and you can stop being woke. You can stop trying to force things down somebody's throat. If you want to have a section for it, have it somewhere in the back to where it doesn't have to be something to where every time a parent and their kid come in, have to see it right in front. Like, screw that noise. Sorry.
Yeah, and they make it sound, you know, like, again, like it's a lot of people, and when you really get down to it, it's not that many percent of the people that want to see it. You know what I mean?
You know, and I can't, you know, it's funny because I just typed in John Deere jobs just to see if there's any, nothing comes up. Careers and jobs at John Deere. Where are you getting your information that they're laying everybody off? Just as a curiosity.
Well, there wouldn't be any jobs if they're laying them off.
I know, but that's not what I'm saying. I was just trying to Google something, and as a test, as part of the information problem is that we're being channeled down lines that it's hard to, you got to have different sources of information to find anything anymore.
Well, and that's one of the hardships here. Let me pull this up real quick. So,
okay, so
that was from foxbusiness.com.
Oh, well, I guess that's pretty mainstream. It's funny how they're not, you know, some of these things should be big news that they should be highlighting, and you're not hearing anything about it.
Published June 29th, so yesterday, at 1:29 p.m.
But you're finding that, again, we go back to mainstream media or local news or anything. You don't hear anything like that when they're talking about, you know, closing things up. If there's a problem with the economy, they're always reporting it's all good.
So personally, one of the things that I like to do is I like to look at scnr.com, and they're really good because they use all NewsGuard certified services, and they try to present it from an unbiased opinion, which I like that. Let me make up my own mind on it. And they have most of the mainstream news, almost an aggregate, kind of like Bongino Report. And Bongino Report's good, but Bongino Report obviously sways really far to the right.
Oh, absolutely. So, I listen to, I mean, I have a ton of different sources, but, you know, Need to Know News, Gateway Pundit. I listen to Bongino religiously 24/7. I'm on Substack with, you know, that has a bunch of different writers on Substack, you know, Matt Tabai, or however you say it. I just get a cross section of different things coming at me, and you kind of filter through them and try to figure out what is going to actually be the truth.
Well, and the problem is there's so many stories. Like, if we really wanted to go through, like, all the stories that I've got up, it would be a five-hour show. And that's just the news that we have from the last 3 days.
That's why we try to pick out the stuff that we think is the most pertinent, because that's why I don't want to, you know, just...
Even that's hard.
Well, you know, it's like you can jump on the bandwagon of the debates and stuff, and we did to a big degree today. But I'm trying to get some of this other stuff, because I think it's important when we talk about economy and economics to be prepared for what's coming. Anybody that has any clue at all knows that we've got a catastrophic economy coming, because... Mm-hmm. You can't just keep spending and spending and spending and spending money.
And printing and printing and printing.
Well, and...
Well, and here's one that's a prime example of this that I feel like we should know about. So border signs in Chinese direct illegal crossers from China where to go in California. I found signs in the Chinese remote difficult to traverse area on the border in the mountains near Jumba, California. The signs direct Chinese illegal aliens where to go for asylum. And you see the signs, they're all written in Chinese. An NGO is using Chinese Americans on the border to assist those crossing illegally. Chinese illegals are given flyers in China in Chinese that tell them where to go to be picked up for asylum. Border agents told me Chinese illegals try to avoid being picked up from them and arrange transportation from the border in the U.S. interior, and they are undetected. As the NGOs working with the Chinese government, cartels, and human trafficking groups, this is a mini documentary put together from what I've found here. You've got science. It's called Signs in Chinese Border on Unlawful Migration on YouTube. But that seems pretty pertinent. Like, all right, we know about all the situations of, okay, we've got Guatemala, we got people from Africa, but considering the situation that we've got going on with China right now, it kind of seems pertinent that you don't have a bunch of Chinese nationals that are coming in who are fighting age that might be here for bad reasons. Kind of seems like that, lest we forget the last time we had 11 people that were from a different country that decided to do us harm.
Do us what?
Harm. You try ranting that much, damn it.
But they don't find that to be important to let us know those things.
I don't know. It's I just found something on John Deere layoffs, and I was kind of going to expand on it a little bit here, because the one thing I did find out about is that they're trying to blame it on greed. Now, maybe it is greed. It says this is from the Daily Mail. So I'm getting this out of the Daily Mail, I believe, is London. And so they're printing our stuff over in London. But
you
we
get
can't
better buy. Stories out of across the pond than you yeah. do in the United States.
Well,
yeah.
And it's interesting because some of the things up here, like us going to paper ballots and us doing the recall up here, they called it a militia-led recall. And the funny thing about it was is that made international headlines. They were talking over in London about it. It was big news. It was front page news in freaking London and these places over here, but we can't get our own area to cover it. Huh.
Maybe yeah. there is greed involved, but you know, I would think that they're moving to Mexico not because greed involves, because the regulations are relaxed enough to.
Well, who's the greedy person?
Right.
The regulators or the company?
Well,
and it's
about
money.
The CEO.
So the big thing on it is too, people don't understand that most of these companies in China that all these companies used to get parts from and used to work with now have branches, and most of the business that's going on in Mexico is from China because they're skirting all of the tariffs with
it. And that's why you got to have some incentive to keep the company here. It doesn't matter what the CEO makes. I mean, if the CEO makes $26 million, but the company's going under and under and under, and his lifestyle's going away, and he can get a better deal in Mexico, why wouldn't you go? I'm not saying that that's good, because they have no allegiance. They should have allegiance to America. So it's not just about greed. It's also about how many government overregulated things there are, and a person can't do business after a while, just like we've been talking about with the Chevron decision.
Yeah, yeah. That's... Well,
And even so, you've got, like, so the Biden policies that he just enacted, they ended up saying there was nothing that they could do this entire time, and then they also have policies that they enacted in order to circumvent the policies that they already enacted, so it's not actually having any effect whatsoever on the people that are coming over the border, but they just claim that it does.
Well,
stupid.
Biden, I mean, Biden is so full of it, it's... Yeah,
what? Yeah, the whole government right now is full of, you know what, they need to get rid of, you know, 90% of the government. At the federal level, I'm just saying there's way too many three-letter agencies.
Well,
they need
because
to start
if
nobody,
nobody's producing anything, that's the problem. You got overregulation to the point where the government starts to squeeze down anybody, and not just the big guys. Well, look at all the little mom and pops that are closing up. They can't compete. So then it gets to the point where the big guys can't really compete, or they have to go someplace else. Or you have a situation like in San Francisco where everybody's robbing the store with there's no accountability. How long are they going to stay there? So I wanted to talk a little bit about the debt crisis explained here a little bit. And it's pretty simple, okay? In simple terms, the U.S. is stuck in a debt spiral, okay? So who wants to lend the U.S. Treasury dollar? Who wants to lend the U.S. Treasury dollars for 30 years when they know that the inflation is only going to continue the charade? Make no mistake about that. This cannot go on forever, okay? The government is spending wildly, like so incredibly irresponsible that it's causing what is called fiscal dominance, meaning fiscal spending is dominating the Fed's attempt to tackle inflation by rising rates. So what they're trying to do is spend their way out of it by counterfeiting their way out of it with spending. And at the end of the day, this is why you start looking at other things like commodities to invest in to stop your value from being diminished, because at some point in time, real things become worth more because dollars become worth less because you're just counterfeiting them.
Well, yeah, and how insane is that? To spin your way out of something. I mean, there's nothing logical about that.
Well, and people are feeling it. So if you're not seeing a recession looming on the horizon, well, I think we're kind of already in one,
right,
then you're crazy. But wait, it's even worse than that because, you know, this has been going on for a long time. It's starting to come to a head, and they've shut down all the production, and they've shut down, people's ability to produce goods and services. So at what point in time is it become a big problem across the board? Well, we got a worldwide thing going on because the government's out of control.
It's
worldwide.
Global, yeah.
Well, let's think about this for a minute, too. Everybody is sick and tired of being taxed to death, but all we got to do is take a look in 2021, which I haven't seen recent ones, but I'm sure it's probably gotten much better. But according to Statistia.com, in 2021, 19% of the workforce worked for either the state and local governments, and 1.2% worked for the federal government. You've got 20+% of the workforce that is working for the government. What does the government create again?
And that was in 21?
I think it's a lot worse than that. I think
yeah.
we're like almost up over 50% across
yeah.
the board if you count federal, state, local, and everything.
Well, yeah, once you eliminate all the other businesses that are now gone, once you see all the jobs that are gone, once you see that even freaking McDonald's is replacing the employees now, go into
the
McDonald's,
well,
try to order at the counter.
And
you
and
can't.
The guys working for the government are desperate because they're just trying to feed their family, too, so they don't really necessarily know that they've become a part of the problem. They're just trying to survive as well. But what's happening is you're shutting down the economy and taking the incentive away. Why do people in these kind of crisis situations move into commodities and precious metals in any way to hold their
value?
Because everything else is in the system. And once it gets to a point, what do they do in communist countries? They just confiscate everything. They confiscate your bank accounts. They confiscate everything. So that if you don't have any layer of protection, if you're sitting down there and the bank goes under at Bank of America and your money's in the bank, they're really under
Goodbye.
No obligation to make you whole other than yep. The FDIC insurance, which is like, I don't know, eight cents on the dollar right now, last time I checked.
And what are you going to do when they say, here's your 8 cents or nothing or whatever they come up with, if they come up with anything?
Or
what are you going to do? What do they say?
Nothing.
Here's your 8 cents per dollar that you got in the bank?
Right. That's why people move into the metals, is because you can get it out of the system. You can put it someplace, you know, in a nice vault of storage. It's insured somewhere, and it always increases with the supply of money, and you retain your value because as the money's becoming worth less. It's not that the gold is becoming worth more. It's that it's maintaining its value as it is because it holds a value in itself, and it doesn't count on any third
party. Well, there's currency and there's money.
Right. Well, And gold is money, currency is fiat.
Yeah, and with that, we've got Dar on the line. Good morning, Dar. Tart? Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
What you got?
Good morning. I'm talking about the Chinese that are coming over, the illegals.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished reading a book by Dick Morris, who's not my favorite person, but he does do good research. It's called The Inside Story of Biden's Dark Money, and there's quite a bit on there, Chinese, about it. And he said that Chinese people are not allowed to leave China without the government okay.
Correct. That is correct.
So
who are they that's coming across the border is the question then.
Pardon me?
I said, then who's coming across the border is the fundamental question. If you can't leave China without permission, but and there's a bunch of Chinese coming over the border, who are they?
Well, they're developing their own little army here, or their own. That's what I look see, along with the terrorists that are here and the Chinese they're bringing in. They're developing their own little armies. It's going to be interesting I don't know. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say. You guys have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for calling in.
I just pulled up an article here, and the title of the article is exclusive. Border signs in Chinese direct illegal crossers. I think you mentioned it earlier, mm-hmm. from China, where to go in California. I mean, so...
Well, here's a portion of this that I think people need to understand, too. So far in the fiscal year 24, 24,376 Chinese nationals have been encountered at the southwest border, and 24,214 of them were apprehended illegally crossing the border. Encounters of Chinese nationals in March of 2024 increased over 8,000% compared to March of 2021 and have surpassed all last year's fiscal just 6 months into fiscal year 24. Also marked a historic high for encounters amongst the busiest sector on the northern border, which saw a nearly 50% increase compared to previous months of March, and more than 2,000% increase since the March of 2021. More than 1,000 Chinese nationals have crossed the northern border every month for the past 5 months. This is from homeland.house.gov. This is from Homeland Security's own briefing.
And the ones that they have apprehended, if you want to say that, what happens to them? They give them a ticket and say report back to court in 4 years?
It's easily, right now it's looking at about 5 to 7 years out for a court
excuse
date.
Excuse me, 5 to 7 years. So they're still basically here in this country. Wow, that really helped out.
That's why we need to have the biggest deportation ever in the history of the country and just start rounding these guys up and deporting them. That's what needs to happen. That's why everybody's on board with Trump. I think the border is the biggest issue at this point because we're not going to have a country. I think it is actually the biggest issue. I mean, there's a lot of other issues, but that is the biggest issue because people are seeing their countries being overrun and they're trying to do the replacement theory. There's no question about it. They've admitted it. They want these guys to vote them because most of the guys they're letting in are from communist or leftist countries. Who are they going to vote for? Are they going to vote for the capitalist or are they going to vote for the leftist communist guy that is saying he's going to give them all the stuff that they need?
Well, yeah, and I just saw an article that, you know, in California, even if you don't have a Social Security or ID or whatever, you can go ahead and vote in California.
Well, not legally in a federal election. But yes, and I'm just telling you, they're saying you can vote because you can vote legally in local elections according to them, and they're not going to vote in the federal elections, and everybody's going to check, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course they're going to vote.
Sure they are. No problem here, you know.
And you can't even check the votes because they destroy it in the solid machine. So you don't, nothing. That's a coincidence, isn't it?
And we won't clean up the voter rolls or anything, and we don't want you to see that either.
And that's
what's going on with the voter rolls.
And that's why Kathy Darling Allen, we should just maintain the status quo with Joanna because we trust them.
Well, and so here's the other thing, too, that people need to consider. Yeah. And so you've got the people that are actually there on the border. There was one of them that recently ended up going on to the Sean Ryan show. Now, he was the guy that was in charge of policing the entire border. He ended up having a conversation with him. And in that conversation, he said, for every one that we catch, there's three that got away.
Right.
So you got 24,792 people that illegally crossed that are Chinese nationals. Guess what? That means 100,000 of them, at least about 75,000 of them, made it into the country.
That's why.
And we know where they are, right?
No.
That's why
I know.
Not at all. If we make it to the elections, that's good. It's going to be a miracle, because the real deal is that if we don't have an event, either economic event or terrorist attack or something between here and there, it's going to be a shocker, because the real deal is that we're in real deep trouble here, and people better wake up and realize what's going on here and prepare themselves, you know, with whatever they can, the supplies and whatever they need to, they think, to get involved in the local community. You might want to talk to some of those guys in the militia, even down there in Cottonwood or wherever, in Reading or whatever, just to maybe have some people that'll help you when you're you need it. But anyway, I guess you know, we're getting to the end of the show here.
We have a couple minutes left,
yeah,
I think. Yeah,
58. But crazy.
But back to all these people coming over, and we know where all these people are. That's another scary part. Look at all the criminals that are coming across, and we have no idea where they are in our country.
Well, and the ones that we do too, you go over to places like New York, that's having a huge influx of people. They tell them you're not allowed to work. Here's your EBT card. Here's your food card.
Here's
your hotel.
The money. Yeah.
Here's everything that you need. So obviously, they're a net drain on our society, and the people that are here illegally are looking at them. They're like, WTF? Like, why is it that I'm paying $4,000 a month for a shack that I can't even afford, and you're giving them hotel rooms and penthouses and giving them all their food and giving them everything else while I'm starving?
Right.
Well, with that said, tomorrow is July 1st. This is the week of the 4th of July. Have a happy celebration out there. Be careful if you're shooting fireworks off. It's dry and dangerous, and we want to avoid any fires out there.
We've had plenty of them.
But we want to have a happy 4th and celebrate what we can and with your friends and family and you know, enjoy the times that we have. Things are going to get worse before they get better, that's for sure.
Just be careful out there with the fireworks and everything. Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we're here. Are we at the end of the show? There we go. So government is not reason, is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Don't co-pair it with the government, and all gun control is racist. See y'all next week.
See you next week. Have a good 4th.
I am just a simple man.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.